You guys doing okay? Yes. Would you tell me in front of everyone if you were not doing okay?
Yes.
Does anyone need anything? Does anyone want to air their grievances to everyone right now? So my friend Christina is translating for me right now. So, you know, the people have their headphones on, they're not listening to music, not paying attention. They're getting translations in Spanish, in case you were wondering. So last time I taught and Christina was translating, for some reason I started talking about this house, and Elise put it back up here. And I called it a fairy house last year, which had no relevance to my teaching at all. So Christina perfectly translated my teaching. Bob said, great job, and he was like, by the way, the way to say fairy is whatever it is, I don't remember. So I just wanted to bring up this fairy house, since Christina learned how to say fairy. You can open your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 2. Now that you're thinking about fairies, we're definitely not on topic at all. So we just covered the day of Pentecost. That was a historic day. That's when our family got kicked off. Your very distant brothers and sisters from way back when got born again that day. And this administration opened up, the Grace Administration. You are still in the Grace Administration. So what I want to go through today is Pentecost happened. Now what? Did they just all like go home and then forget about everything and do nothing else? No. They did a lot of things and they did it together. So we'll go to Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Can you guys hear me okay? Am I talking at a normal level? Too loud, too low. Can you hear me now? Acts 2, 41. It says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's a lot. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' what?
Doctrine
and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued steadfastly. That means it was constantly with perseverance and they didn't faint. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. Verse 43, and fear, and that means respect, came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Do you understand that these wonders and signs were done before the epistles were even written? God's power happens when believers believe together, okay? And we'll see that way more. Verse 44, and all that believed were together, no division, they were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing once a week for Sunday morning fellowship, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There are so many awesome keys, practical keys, a template for our life in these few verses here. It says that they were together daily. And it says in verse 46, they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. You know, they had to decide whose house are we going to go to. It wasn't like, you know, we can't agree whose house to go to, so we're not going to hang out. And they all stayed home and didn't hang out with anyone. Logistics are not so important when you're just trying to be unified with the believers. When you have one goal to be together, the idea is that we're moving the word together. We're fellowshipping together. And we're going to see this a lot today, hopefully, unless I keep talking about fairies, in which case, I don't know. I don't know what you're going to do. So what we're going to look at today is like-mindedness, but before we go to the next verse, I want to read a little bit of the introduction to this section. So this is the New Dynamic Church, more commonly known, at least to me, as the Green Book. The introduction to the church today, I'm not going to read the entire introduction, but I'm reading about half of it. So Dr. Royal says, an obvious weakness in the current church is its lack of unity. Why Division examines this aspect of the modern church to see where we are limiting God's power because we are not of one mind. When we are not of one mind, we limit God's power. Interesting. Next paragraph. The church of grace, regardless of time, is made up of the members of the body of Christ. No building or denominational label qualifies as a church in God's eyes. Only as the called out ones band together on the accuracy of their own opinions, no, on the accuracy of God's word and fully mature by following the accurate word, can we ever hope to help ourselves and help others and thus live the more abundant life. So that's what we're going to look at, is that one mind and banding together. So let's go to Philippians chapter 2. You guys okay so far? Yeah. Philippians chapter 2. Jeff, I am also very impatient, and when I feel like a line is taking too long in the grocery store, I try to switch to another line, and then that doesn't work out, and I try to switch to another, and it's a mess. So I can understand, I have compassion for your impatience at the grocery store, Jeff. Oh, I wanted to tell you guys, I was talking to a few of the employees this morning who work here at the hotel, and they are just so, so blessed by you guys. You guys are really loving them up. One of the guys, his name is Ronnie, he went home last night to his wife and bragged about you guys, about how great you are. Who goes home after work and brags about their day and how great the people, you know, are that they work with? So you guys are just, you know, you're doing what you do, you're loving them. One of the things they said is that your kindness is so genuine, you know, and what they're describing is the love of God. So they see it. You haven't even been here that long and they see it on you. So just keep doing what you're doing, but the love of God is here and it's hot. So let's just keep it up. I wanted to share that with you guys. So Philippians 2, I gave you a lot of time. Yeah, Philippians 2, 1. Thanks, Jerry. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, we read this yesterday, I know, I didn't forget. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. It brings God joy when the believers are like-minded. We saw last night that God has no greater joy than to see that his children walk in truth. Dean shared that. Another thing that brings God joy is when the believers are like-minded. We're not going to go crazy on the Greek today. By the way, they didn't do Greek word studies in Acts chapter 2. Anyway, the word like-minded, it comes from two Greek words, auto, which means the same, and phroneo, which means to think. It's to exercise your mind, to have a sentiment or opinion. So what that word together, like-minded, means is to have the same thoughts, the same feelings, and same desires of the mind. And that means that you as an individual, first of all, need to think at all. And secondly, that we are agreeing on what we think. So each of us individually have a responsibility to pay attention to what we're thinking about, and we need to hold our thoughts to the standard of God's word. And we're going to look at that in a minute. But like-mindedness does start with you. We don't wait until everyone else is being like-minded and then we get on the train. We all read off the same sheet of music, and then us individually renewing our minds turns into all of us being like-minded. But like-mindedness starts with you. So what should we think? Let's vote. Let's see. Let's have somebody be the standard of what we think. Let's nominate someone. Michael Liu. Yeah, Michael Liu. We nominate. What should we think about? What should we be thinking? Chinese food. All right. Do you know how difficult that would be if we just had to pick, like, random stuff to all agree on and there was no standard? Like, the hardest part of being like-minded is done. We have God's word. What to think is already taken care of. So what we're going to look at now are some clear keys in God's word and some of what we saw in Acts 2 that describe how to be like-minded. So let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. These keys are not in a particular order, but the first one we're going to look at is be like-minded on the doctrine. Be like-minded on the doctrine. 2 Peter chapter 1. The primary key to living as like-minded believers is that we each think and agree on God's word. If we did not have God's word, I do not know what we could be like-minded about. Because my husband and I don't even agree what color this carpet is right here. And it's just a carpet. So, you know, being like-minded on anything, even something stupid like the color of a carpet, can be challenging. And it's great that we have the standard of God's word. God gave us what to agree on. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." First of all, we cannot let our minds loose on the doctrine. We don't want to do that, all right? Dr. Worrell, when he talks about this verse in PFAL, he talks about letting a dog out to, you know, hunting, just letting it run around and trying to catch stuff. And, you know, we don't just randomly, like, turn to places and put things together and whatever. We don't let our minds loose on the doctrine, okay? We're tight on the doctrine. It says that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. Private is one's own interpretation. If we could all have our own interpretation of the Bible, how could we be like-minded? We could not. It would be a little bit difficult. There would be yelling and gnashing of teeth. So it's important that we're like-minded on the doctrine. And honestly, the doctrine is not that complicated. You know, the epistles, there aren't even that many books and pages of the epistles. I'm like holding them right here. Look at my whole Bible, how, you know, how many pages there are. And I'm just holding the epistles right here. It's a small amount of the Bible. All right, Romans says saved by grace. Saved by grace. So if we're saying saved by works, are we agreeing on the doctrine? No, okay, not complicated. Corinthians talks about, reproves them but for some strange things that were happening, and also talks about how to use the manifestations. It says, "I would that you all spoke in tongues." So if we're saying, "I don't want you all to speak in tongues," are we agreeing on the doctrine? No. It talks about how to love with the love of God. Galatians, they were going back to works, and Paul says, What started in the spirit now ends up in the flesh? Like, are you going to now do it for works? Simple. It's grace, right? Romans 10:9. Okay, that doctrine's simple. Saved by grace. You have Holy Spirit. How about Ephesians? Called to one body. Called to one body. So are we called to two bodies? No, one body. Okay, we can agree on that. Every member is important. So are some members more important than others? No. Is that complicated? No. The great mystery. Philippians is reproving them and saying, hey, guys, you need to serve one another. Talks about Timothy being the example of somebody who serves and, you know, how to be together as a body. All right. And then Colossians, Christ in you, just read it. And then Thessalonians, Christ is coming back. The Lord himself descends from heaven with a shout. And like God said in manifestations, things are going to change. All right? So if we say Christ is not coming back, are we agreeing on the doctrine? No. Were any of these hard to understand? No. The doctrine really is, it's simple. And it's a matter of us living it and being like-minded and, you know, wanting to live it. So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is one of my absolute favorite verses in the Bible. The second key we're going to look at, and we're not spending much time on each key because we just don't have time to do that. But the second key is leadership and teaching. Key to like-mindedness is leadership and teaching. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, something similar commit thou to faithful men." No. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, your version of it that you like the best, commit thou. No. The same. The same. This is talking to Timothy here, right? You can tell because it says 2 Timothy. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men." When I commit something to someone, I'm not just like, oh, here, I'm done with this paper. Here, Christy. There you go. No. Commit is, Christy, here you go. Take care of this. Hold on to that. Give it back to me when I'm done. Committed it to her. All right, it's not just like haphazard, like, here you go, figure it out. Like, my eyes are on her and make sure she still has that book, all right? Commit it to them. Give it to them and make sure they stick with it. Commit it to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. This is a huge key to like-mindedness. The doctrine needs to continue from generation to generation. The same. My voice just sounded weird there. The same. Leadership helps carry the doctrine, and leadership also helps with the day-to-day logistical decisions, like whose house are we going to fellowship in? Remember in Acts 2, we don't have to go there. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. We'll see another example of this. Philippians chapter 3. I still hear pages turning, so I'm not going to start reading. I'm trying to be respectful. Philippians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 say, "Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by different rules that we all make up," because Michael who told us, no. "Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together." You can't get away from this together and same and unity stuff. I'm sorry, there's just no getting around it in the epistles. "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as you have made us for an ensample." Ensample there means tupos. An imprint, it leaves a mark. It says here, it's telling the Philippian believers, imitate me, Paul's saying, imitate me, do as I do, and also mark them which walk as ye have us for an example. It means look at the people who are serving. Those are your examples. Part of leadership and part of like-mindedness is that we imitate the leadership and we imitate and mark the people who are serving. Mark means to look at them, watch them, observe them, contemplate, think about it. Look at this person serving. Look at Patrick coming early to set up this microphone. Look at him serving. Look at how he came early and thought about it and made sure that we were ready for the morning watch. Contemplate, fix your eyes on them. It's a good thing to follow the example of believers who are walking. It's a good thing. We don't all need to be so like, well, I need to be like the best, you know, me, and so I'm not going to pay attention to anyone else. It's just about me and my walk. No. We're supposed to mark them who are serving. Follow their example. Listen to the leadership. Ephesians chapter 4, you can go there if you want. It's like 2 pages away. I'll read it. Ephesians 4, 11, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." God gave us gift ministers. You realize also, gift ministries, it's not a gift to the person. That person is a gift to you. It's a gift to the church. You know, if God gives us a gift, we should, use it. It's a weird word to use for this, but God gave us gift ministers to help edify the church, to help us in our renewed minds. Let's let those gifts work. You know, I'm trying to think of a better word than let's use them, but let's take advantage of it. God gave the gift. So the second key to like-mindedness is leadership and teaching. The same. Follow the example of people serving. Leadership helping carry the doctrine from generation to generation. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. The next key is prioritize one another. Be service-minded. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 handle this really clearly. It says, and I'm reading a couple verses again, it says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. One accord means harmonious, souls together. Has anyone ever seen an orchestra live or heard one or listened to it on Spotify or something? An orchestra is composed of many different instruments, right? It's not just a bunch of violins and that's it, and they're all making, you know, doing the same exact sound. An orchestra has, you know, a full orchestra has, like, there's trumpets, and there's an oboe, and there's cellos, and there's French horns, and there's a piano sometimes. There are so many different instruments. Those instruments sound different, but they're following the same sheet of music. It's one composer who told all these people, you know, this is how your part goes, okay? That's kind of like what one accord is, harmonious. When they're all following their sheet of music, it sounds beautiful. Are they all doing the exact same thing? No, the oboe doesn't sound anything like a violin, just so you know. But when we're all, you know, doing our own, you know, our own walk with God, when we're being the best Christies we can be, the best Dylans we can be, together, it's harmonious. And it's still the same sheet of music. The composer was God. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. It says, let nothing be done in verse 3 through strife. Strife is fighting. It's a desire to put oneself forward. It's self-serving so that you gain the advantage. God says, don't do anything out of that, out of fighting, out of desiring to put yourself forward. Don't do anything out of that. Or vainglory. Don't do it out of pride. We don't do anything for God out of pride or trying to put ourselves forward. But instead, in lowliness of mind, we esteem each other better than ourselves. Okay? We're not each other's competition. We're not trying to put each other ahead of one another. We need each other, and we want to actually prioritize the other people above ourselves and service and making sure they're taken care of. So, you know, when we're putting this, I'm bringing it up again, when we're putting this fairy box up here, you're not doing it out of vainglory. We're doing it out of love, and we're thinking about how it's going to bless other people, especially me. It really blessed me to have it back this year. And it says in verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. When it said in verse 3, esteem each other better than themselves, esteem is to consider, it's to deem, it's to account for them as better than yourself. Just account for other people first. When we're together, like, account for the believers. Account for Taylor. Is Taylor taken care of? We don't all need to be like, okay, I need to make sure, am I fine? Stephanie's fine. Like, okay, I'm fine, I'm just doing good. If we're all just doing that, first of all, you only have one person taking care of you, and that's you. But if instead we're all looking to prioritize each other, in this case, there's like 180 of us in this room, if you subtract yourself out, there's 179 people looking out for you. Like-mindedness. It's beautiful. But if we're all looking to just take care of ourselves and prioritize ourselves and make ourselves look so great, is that like-mindedness? No. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. You guys okay?
Yeah.
Acts chapter 12. We're not each other's competition. We are in this body together. We need every instrument to be a full orchestra. You need every part of the body. We're going to see this later today. You need every part of the body. Acts chapter 12, verse 12. I'm in Acts 17. I don't know why. There's just literally no reason for that. Acts chapter 12. The next key we're going to look at is praying together. And we're going to see this as an example of them doing that in Acts chapter 12, verse 12. Peter was in prison, as he was wont to do. And we're not going to read it right now, but God busted him out of prison, okay? And verse 11, we'll pick it up. It says, "And when Peter was come to himself," like, what the heck just happened? I was in prison and now I'm not. "He said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together," what?
Praying.
Praying. When there is a need in the body, you know what they did in Acts? They got together and they prayed. And guess what? It worked. He got out of jail. verse 13, "And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice," she knew Peter's voice because she knew Peter, because the leaders were out and among the people. Leadership is critical. She opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. I imagine Lucy Waite being Rhoda here, just running away, being like, "Dad, she's here, he's here." You know she would, Jeff. And verse 15, "And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished." Their prayer was answered. Pretty cool. So there's a few more verses, but I want to take you to verse 24. The result of this section of God's word says, "But the word of God grew and multiplied." All right, when these keys are happening, and it's not just one key and we like silo them out, it's all of these keys together. We've got the same doctrine. We're fellowshipping together. We're serving each other. We're prioritizing one another. We're praying together when there's a need. Then the result is the word of God growing and multiplying. And the last key we're going to look at is to have a common goal. Acts chapter 8. And we're going to see what having a common goal looks like, again, by looking at the believers in the first century church. Acts chapter 8, verse 3. "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere hiding and saying, forget this." No, but do you know how easy that would be? Very easy. "They that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." Preaching the word. Even though they scattered abroad, they went to different places. They all did the same thing. They didn't have cell phones to call each other and check, like, "Hey, I'm preaching the word. Are you doing that? Or did you just say stop? Like, are we done with that now?" No. They all went. Even though they were in different places, they spoke the word. And they were united on the doctrine. And they were united on taking care of each other. And even though they'd been driven out of their homes, they still spoke the word. That means individually they had the commitment in their hearts, burning in their hearts to speak God's word. And that's what a unified goal looks like. That no matter where we are, whenever we all sprinkle back home, go to our different cities and countries, and we still have the common goal of speaking God's word. A cool record to look at, too, is when they had a mind to work and built the wall in the Old Testament. A mind to work. They had a single goal. It was to build this wall to protect them from these three armies coming. Okay? When we have a single goal, and our goal is to preach God's word, we're going to be like-minded, and then no matter where we go, we're going to be speaking and preaching God's word. And then verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Again, leadership. And verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things. There it is, one accord. Gave heed unto these things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city because the believers were like-minded. The body was operating the way it ought to. There was leadership, and the people were together. They were speaking the same word. People were being healed, and there was great joy in the entire city. Great joy in that city. One accord, in verse 6, it was unanimous. And that's what it is for us. If somebody asks us what the doctrine is, it's unanimous. It's Christ in you. Shouldn't hear a different answer from any of us. Christ in you. Is it one body? Yes. And all the other things of the doctrine we talked about. It's unanimous. So let's close in Philippians chapter 1. So we saw that some keys to like-mindedness that we can see in God's word are being like-minded on the doctrine. Another key is leadership and teaching. Another key is prioritizing one another, being service-minded. Another key is praying together. And the last key we looked at is having a common goal. And then in Philippians 1:27, yet again, I am not even remotely where it should be. Philippians 1:27. Dean read this last night, but I am focusing on the second half of the verse, so it's fine. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together. For the faith of the gospel. Okay? Paul's saying, even if I come visit and I see it happening, or if I'm somewhere else, I'm just hearing about what you're doing, I want to hear that you guys are striving together. You're like-minded. You're loving each other. You're sticking to the doctrine. You're letting leadership help you. You're serving one another. You're praying together. It brings God joy when we're like-minded. Let's do that for him. So let us strive together. Let's set our eyes on the highest calling to move God's word. That's the most important task. Let's put aside anything we don't agree on. Whatever it is, it's not as important as what God did for us. I mean, if you disagree with somebody on whether mustard should be in potato salad or not, is that as important as Christ dying for you? No. Or the color of this carpet, it's simply not as important, even though it's blue, Eddie. Let us put aside everything that we don't agree on and strive together. Let us work together. When believers were like-minded in the first century church, the word moved. Signs, miracles, and wonders. There is no reason that can't happen today. When we're like-minded, the template's there, man. That's what's going to happen. So let us have a unanimous decision. Let's live this life and move God's word and do it together. That's it.